I don't even know what to say. It's the news, according to me. Oh, well, here we are Friday morning. And the show that I thought I was going to have is not what I'm going to have. It is Friday, June 28th, nearing the end of June. We're almost in the middle of summer already. Oh, Independence Day is coming up. We have, I actually have to work this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. I am your host, Kevin. I am here to tell you that there's free parking. This show comes with free parking. Uninterrupted, no crazy sponsors, no advertising, just me and my opinions coming at you. But I have no, by the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a physician of any kind, financial counselor. I just have a bunch of opinions, and then you have the privilege to enjoy them. You can enjoy my opinions. How's that? Just sit back and enjoy. I have a few things I want to talk about. Last night was the debate. It kind of snuck up on me. I totally forgot the debate was. I thought it was supposed to be next week for some reason. That's how interested I am. And one of the things I've been saying this whole time is that Joe Biden's not going to be on the ticket in November. Now, last night, I think that probably has become abundantly clear to those on the left that they have got to do something different. And I think that's where they are right now. They're in a position now. You've got, you know, the media has been able to cover for Joe pretty well. I think they're in looking at the rules. I've tried to look into the rules here at the DNC and how they would replace Joe right now. Right now, I don't think they can replace him right now. Once he's been, they either have to wait till the convention. I think one of the reasons they were pushing to have a virtual instating him into the position virtually right before the convention. I'm pretty sure that was the Biden administration trying to push that. I don't think that was the DNC. I don't think that was the people behind the scenes that want somebody else in there. There's a civil war. I would say a civil war going on right now in the DNC. If you knew what was going on behind the scenes, the phone calls that are being made today, and they've been making those phone calls, but today it is at a heated, fevered pace, I'm sure. I don't know how many of you have seen the debates last night, the debate. It was an atrocity. I was listening to Sky News this morning. One of the people was asked, okay, who do you think won the debate? Well, Joe Biden lost the debate. Yeah, and I would say that's an accurate way to put it. I don't know that Trump necessarily won. The one thing I've heard a lot of people say, a lot of people. Now, I've had one friend of mine, dear friend of mine, I wholly respect a lot of his opinions on this particular issue. I probably would differ with him on this. He said that he can't vote for either one of these guys because he thinks Trump acts like a junior high bully. Well, he kind of does. But he likes his policies, but he doesn't like the way he acts. And I have to separate myself from that. I can't vote for a man. When it comes down to the end of the day, would I vote for character or policy? And I would have to say policy is what I'm going to vote for because that's what affects people's lives more so than a character. Now, does that mean character is not important? Absolutely not what I'm saying at all. Character is absolutely important. But the policies of our children's future, and I don't have kids, but other people's kids, the future of our country is going to be found on policies, not necessarily character. And so I have to go with, and they're literally people's lives are at stake here. When abortion is You know, there's a difference between pro-abortion and just being pro-choice. The left now has gone to the point where they are pro-abortion. They want abortion. Everybody to have, they would like for everybody to have an abortion once, at least once in their life. They're pro-abortion, not just allow it. I think Bill Clinton had the most reasonable statement on it when he said it should be legal, what was it? There's three things: legal, something, and rare. That was at least a sane way of putting it. In other words, we don't like abortion. We don't promote abortion. We're hoping to build a society that doesn't need abortion, but it still should still be a choice. That's what he was saying, is it should be a choice. Now, I don't go that far. I believe that the right to life starts when that there is life in the womb. And I personally believe that life starts at conception. Now, at some point, at some point, the Supreme Court is going to have to rule on when does life begin, because that is when they become a protected, constitutionally protected life. You have the right to life. Once you are a life, you have the right to that life, and nobody can take it away from you without due process. Doesn't matter if it's your parents, it doesn't matter who it is. And I have a right to my cup, and it's what's in my cup this morning is a little bit. I am here at the international worldwide headquarters of the News According to Me this morning, and I have no creamer. I just realized I have no creamer. I do have some chai. And this is not the creamiest creamy chai. This is the California, I think it's California, or Pacific Island chai, whatever it is. It's not quite as creamy as the new stuff I've got now. The big train, whatever it is. But I have no cream. I don't even have like generic creamer. Not even the packets. Probably should get that up. I don't spend enough time here at this particular office, at this facility, to, at least right now, to warrant having anything that's perishable. I do have a refrigerator here, of course, but I don't have it just, you know, when it sits for 6 months, it's probably not good. So I'm going to have to do something about that. In the meantime, I have chai. My backup is just water this morning. I almost thought I was going to just have tea, because drinking chai without creamer is kind of like just drinking, you know. Yeah, I don't know. It's not all that great. So, but anyway, I digress. So policy is important. I guess that's where I really have to differ with some people's opinions on some of this stuff. So anyway, I have a few things to say about the debate, and I want to make this more of an analysis of, as I've said before, I have this uncanny ability to kind of just be able to analytically sense where people are with regard to their how they're speaking, what they say, not just what they say, but the tonal qualities of their voice. Now, there are a few places where Joe just really screws up. He just goes off the rails, and several places actually where he just can't. He's just muttering, stuttering the words. And I was looking through some of the feed that I get. I get feed from CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, all these different places, ABC. There is very little on debate coverage playing clips of the, CNN especially, very quiet this morning. Strangely quiet online. Because I've been looking for some of the commentary, what some people have had to say about it. And it is very difficult to find anything more than about a 1 minute or 2 minute clip here and there. There were a lot of people last night that had live streams, people like Mr. Reagan, the channel, that's Chris, whatever his name is. Several others, people like Stephen Crowder and Decoy Voice, whatever else out there. Anyway, several of those pundits all had, I was kind of looking through the feeds, and it looked like a lot of people were doing like a live, I think Robert Govea had a live feed. His was the one I actually listened to. And I listened to it after the fact. I didn't actually listen to it live at the moment. You know, I listened to it. It was delayed like 30 minutes when I was listening to it. He actually had Stephen Gardner, who I also listened to quite a bit, was visiting his facility. I guess he was at the Trump Tower in Phoenix, I guess, or wherever it is. And he was, they ended up having, you know, dual commentary during the event. I believe I fell asleep through parts of it, but every time I'd wake up, listen to any of it, I was aghast at how bad Biden is. In fact, there are people who are saying today, they're saying, I think the family needs to have a serious conversation about whether he should even go on another day. This guy. Now, here's my, and the reason I don't want to get too deep in the weeds in terms of Joe Biden and what I think about his performance. I don't believe I've never, like I've said, yesterday I said I think I was 95% sure that Joe Biden was not going to be on the ticket in November on the ballot. I'm probably even more there now. I am 99%. I will be shocked if that 1% chance of him making it to the ballot in November actually exists. The only way they're going to pull this off, I think, would be to replace Kamala with someone that everybody wants, that could possibly win. I think this morning they are realizing Joe Biden cannot beat Donald Trump. And I think that the next couple of weeks of Trump is already, the momentum is going in Trump's direction already in the polls. And I believe the only thing that will stop that, now this debate is not going to stop that. In fact, this is going to escalate things probably even more. But they've got a bigger problem. And I've said this a lot, or maybe not enough. I've mentioned this in the past. There's a bigger problem here that nobody's talking about. And that is, how motivated are Joe Biden's vote? You know, it's one thing for you to call somebody and ask them who they would vote for. And they're saying, oh, I'm going to vote for Biden. Okay, will you actually leave your house, go down to the voting poll, or will you actually fill out a ballot and send it in? This is where they're running into, I think, the problem they're going to have. There's nobody motivated to vote for this guy. And I think that's the problem they had in 2016. All this hype, all this hysteria, everybody was all, oh, excited, we're going to have the first female president, it's going to be Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 blah. Nobody came out to vote for her. They were so confident that they didn't even put any cheating, any shenanigans, as they call them, in place. And then they lost, and they were like, oh no, we can't let that happen again. So 2020 rolls around, and they just throw out all the cards on the table, or under the table. And then we got what we got. 81 million votes. Whoops. Oopsie, whoopsie. I guess we played that over a little bit. Over 150 million people voted. And there aren't that many registered voters in this country. That right there should be enough to tell you there was something wrong with this election. How many registered voters are there? 137. How many votes came in? 152 million. Oh. Well, isn't that something? Well, I guess there's nothing to see here. Simple math. Bill Barr. Simple math. Just have somebody do some simple math there in your investigation of the election. No evidence of widespread voter fraud. We just had 17 million people show up that weren't registered to vote, apparently just voted. But other than that, there's nothing to see here. I'm throwing numbers out. I'm not sure exactly what the actual numbers are. I'm just ballparking it. It's right around there. Donald Trump got more votes than any Republican president, any Republican candidate ever in the history of this country. And yet, Joe Biden beat him by a margin higher than what Barack Obama got. And a lot of Republicans voted for Barack Obama. How does that happen? And so we're looking for some nefarious activity as well this year with this election. But right now, I just don't see how they're going to plan on doing this. I just don't. I don't know. There's the, like I said, the rules. And again, just to finish my point, the motivation to vote for Joe Biden isn't there. I think half of the people who say they would vote for him probably won't even show up at the polls. This is literally, if they continue to hold this guy out there as their candidate and try to run him through November. Now, supposedly he had a cold. Well, I don't know about you, but usually when you have a cold, you can take some cold medicine, even if it's a severe cold. You can still function. I've gone to work on some pretty tedious jobs with a severe cold, and I was still able to function. This guy right out of the box was mumbling and stumbling and groveling. I just don't get it. Now, of course, then he made up some of these suckers and losers. Suckers, you're the sucker and you're the loser. I mean, Joe Biden made those comments. I didn't hear Donald Trump call him a sucker and a loser. It's interesting how Joe Biden can get away with those kinds of statements. You're the sucker and you're the loser. And then to find out, and I would have really hammered him on this and I would have said, I never said that. Show me a video audio of me ever saying that. Nobody. The one guy who said that was an anti-Trump guy. The reason they didn't go to that, it's just the whole thing happened over in Europe where Trump didn't get to go to a service for veterans. If you know anything about Donald Trump, veterans are, he treats them with the most respect of anybody in this planet. And to think that he'd be calling them, standing on their graves, calling them suckers and losers. This is just ridiculous. But it's the kind of narrative they paint for this guy. Now, I don't think his behavior last night that I saw, I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen him act worse. And I know that there are people on there who have certain standards that they don't believe that the guy, you know, he's whatever. I don't want to disparage the people who have bad opinions of Trump and don't think that he's, they can vote for him based on his personality. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Vote for or against somebody. Whatever you want to do. You can vote for however you want. I'm going to tell you how to vote. I'm going to try to convince you that certain people are certain ways, and you can make your decision. If you like the fact that Joe Biden is an old doddering man who's had some questionable activities with his daughter in the shower, and he's had a son who's shows all the signs of physical abuse by his activities with his drug activity and everything else that he's got going on, then that's what you want. We'll go ahead and vote for that. But I want you to know clearly. I want you to be an informed voter. I want you to know what you're voting for here. A guy who has received a whole bunch of funds. His family has made a fortune selling influence. I think you just need to know that. And if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that. That's fine. And the only reason I don't want to talk about Joe too much, and again, I think that they're going to pull a fast one. I really don't know what they're going to do. I think that they're trying to get, the DNC right now is in turmoil. They are trying to figure out the way around this whole thing. And I think one of the parts that they are trying to figure out is how do they maneuver, how do they manage and navigate what they're going to do with Kamala Harris. Because they can't just take Joe out of the picture here. And then all of a sudden end up with Kamala, who is not going to win either. Now, again, I hear people on the right, on the pundits on the conservative side of things, they're all saying, oh, they can't, you know, nobody wants to have Kamala run. Look at what they've propped up for the last 5 years in Joe Biden. He's the most, I should play this clip from Joe Scarborough. This is the best version of Joe Biden. This is he's cogent. He's the best. Oh, he's just amazing. Behind the doors, he's just a crack whip. Nobody keep up with him. Making all the decisions. He's large and in charge. So we're being told by Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe. And F you if you don't. Well, here he is on the world for on display for the world to see. We'll see what Joe has to say about that. I'm sure he's still going to stick up for him. Joe's going to because they've got something on Joe. Well, I know what it is. Several things, actually, they got on Joe. Of course he's going to play ball. He wouldn't be in his position if he didn't play ball. Until they tell him not to play ball, and then it's going to be something else. And if it's Kamala, now all of a sudden Kamala is the best person for the job. You have to understand, the media will stick up for whoever they're told to stick up for. These people are highly paid political hacks. People like Rachel Maddow, who makes $100,000 per episode. They're not going to risk that. So they're going to say whatever they need to say to keep their jobs, to stay relevant with the narrative. And I guarantee you that if Kamala Harris becomes the nominee, Kamala Harris will all of a sudden become the most wonderful person on the planet. She's the sharpest, hardest working person in politics. We will hear nothing but the good things about her and how wonderful she is and how she's the only qualified person for the job. They will hold their nose and say what they need to say. They don't care about that. They don't care about the country. They care about power and their position and their money-making scheme and their ability to access power. That's all they care about. So this is what we're facing right now. I don't know if they'll put Gavin Newsom in there. I don't know. I think I told you about this friend of mine who's been creating her own memes, and she's putting them on how decent of a man Joe Biden is. Until he's not. Until all of a sudden we find somebody else, and all of a sudden that person's going to be. Now they're talking about Michelle Obama. They're talking about some other people. I think there's probably three or four other people waiting in the wings. I know Gretchen Whitmer, who is the governor of Communist Michigan here, just north of me. She apparently is. Her name's getting bantered around as well as possibly being a VP pick or possibly the pick or whatever it is going to be. It's possibly going to be Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer. It could be something else. I don't know who Gavin would pick. I'm sure he's got somebody out on the West Coast that he probably would pick. Who knows? Whoever he's told to pick, that's who he's going to pick. And I guarantee you they've got crap on, you know, the skeletons that are in Gavin Newsom's closet. And I guarantee you there are skeletons there. So he'll do whatever the deep state tells him to do, because that's how they shake down everybody in that position. So we'll just have to see how this all unfolds. I think the next month and a half, I think the next debate is actually in August, I believe, or maybe it's in September. But the part of the reason why I think they wanted to put this debate out there now was to lay it to rest that Joe Biden is capable, or to make the decision now that they're going to have to swap out who's running. Now, whether or not the left has, we're dealing with people who have no ability. There's a cognitive dissonance with these people. They don't understand that, you know, things that they're saying today that have no relation to the things they're going to say tomorrow. In other words, all of a sudden they realize they've been wrong, and they don't. Have you heard anybody apologize? Anybody on the left, have you heard them apologize for all of the terrible, horrible things they said to those of us who didn't want to wear a mask or be vaccinated? Have you heard anybody say anything about that? Well, we're sorry. No. Well, no, we had the best information. We just were working on the best information we had at the time. No, you just plugged your ears and wouldn't hear anything else. You didn't want to hear any other information. You just wanted to go with what, you know, this had nothing to do with truth and science and anything else. This was your opinion, your agenda, your everything, and you were slamming it down everybody's throat without question, without an ability to even have a conversation about it. And then you want to turn around and just say, oh, well, we were just acting on the best information we had at the time. No, oh, I'm deeply sorry. We were misinformed. No apologies. No apologies from these people. If you apologize to them, they will bury you. There's no mercy. There's no grace with these people. But if they make a mistake, there's no self-awareness. There's no, it is a true cognitive dissonance. It is a disconnection from any kind of self-awareness, any kind of introspection. And we have to realize that, and this is typical of a junior high kid, literally a 12 to 13-year-old kid. This is what you deal with in that age bracket. They haven't worked through the tougher things, the finer things in life, the ability to see different from different paradigms. And they just have this ability simply to see things from their own selfish perspective. And folks, we are all selfish. I get that. But they haven't had a moment in their life where they've had to self-reflect and think about other people's opinions. They only see things from their little selfish world. So here we are, dealing with a whole bunch of 12-year-olds And recently I saw a thing where the caption was, Greta Thunberg stares down Donald Trump at the, whatever it was, Davos or whatever it was. He comes walking in, doesn't even know she's there. He's just walking in, doing his thing, and she's standing in the background. She's waiting for, it was obviously a photo op. She was looking for this. She knows the cameras are on her. She knows this. And she's standing there waiting for him to come in. As soon as he comes in, she's standing in the background, makes her face and stares him down. Oh, there's Mr. Badman. Ooh, I'm going to look at him. Look at the face I'm making. Ooh, scary. They're still dressing her up like she's 12 years old. She still acts like she's 12 years old. Her whole brand is this 12-year-old girl. You know how old she is? She's 21 years old. She's still being treated like a 12-year-old. She's still acting like a 12-year-old. And that's her whole persona. It is absolutely pathetic. A sad way to live. And yet, there she is. She's not making her own decisions. She's being used as a pawn. She grew up being used as a pawn. She's being used as a pawn now. She's always going to be a pawn. There's no end to that, that lifestyle, that world, because once you step out of it, all of a sudden you lose all your fame and notoriety. Your whole way of life is focused on that. It's all a phony sham. You don't produce anything. You don't make anything. David Hogg, he decided he was going to go out and beat Mike Lindell. He's going to start his own pillow company and put Mike Lindell out of business. How'd that work out for you there, David? Apparently, starting a business has more to do with just throwing money at something. When all of a sudden you realize Mike Lindell has been building this business, well, really, it's all his life. That business is who he is. He didn't start the business when he was young. He started when he was an older guy when he started the business. But his character and everything about him is what started the business. It's what made the business what it is. It made the brand what it is. He didn't build the business overnight. And a lot of it had to do with who he is. It wasn't just some business started out of vengeance, out of retribution, a desire to put somebody else out of business. American people don't like that too well, by the way. In general, we don't like that kind of business out there, making somebody successful off of someone else's hatred for someone. But I digress. So I want to talk a little bit more about Joe Biden's speech, his patterns, everything he was saying during this whole thing, just as a lesson, basically, to all of us out there. Other than the content of things he was saying, he said some really ridiculous things. Really ridiculous. A couple things, he went off into this thing where he was jabber-jabbering, and I can't mimic it because I don't remember. He was talking about kids' medical something, and then it was something else, and then he finally went off in this, and he kind of stammers off, and he goes, anyway, we defeated Medicare. What? Are you talking about? And at one point, he said something about Afghanistan and something else, and of course, Afghanistan was I'm amazed he even brought up Afghanistan, but then he brings it up, and Trump basically says, I don't even think he knows what he's saying there. I don't even think he knows what he's saying at the end there. All right. So Joe's talking away right out of the box when he first starts giving his initial opening line, his opening speech. Everything in his tone, the tone of his voice, was monotone. There was no inflection, no natural inflection. People normally have a melodic tone. When you hear somebody speak who's monotone, and especially any kind of person giving a speech or anybody who's doing a speaking event, if they are monotone, I'm here to talk to you today about this, and I'm going to just keep talking about this, and I'm not going to talk about anything else, but everything I say is going to be on the same tone, and I'm going to drone on and on and on. And for a while, you can kind of stand it, but then after a while, it gets really annoying, and you just keep hearing the same thing over and over. Now, I'm actually putting a dip in some of those words, tonally, and it still starts to get annoying. Some people speak that way. It's almost like a speech impediment. They can't put any kind of melodic tone to their voice. Normally, natural people just speaking in their normal, everyday language, when they're just talking to their friend on the phone or down the street or walking, at dinner, whatever it is, the range of their tonal activity in a particular sentence usually reaches about 4 or 5 notes, at least, sometimes more. Like in this sentence, I've actually gone about 6 or 7 notes. And sometimes you drop from 1 to another. Now notice how I start from one to another. Those two notes, very different. That's natural and normal, and when a person is speaking without having something memorized, without trying to just try to get through it, it's as if he was reading. Now, I didn't see any cue cards. They weren't allowed. Supposedly, they weren't allowed to have cue cards, and they weren't allowed to have anything else, but or notes or anything, or any earpieces in. Now, he's rattling this stuff off as if he knew. Now, I'm sure he knew what his opening statement was going to be. He knew the rules. And he studied for a week for this. He practiced for 7 days, went into hiding for 7 days to work on this debate, and royally flops it. He starts in and he just starts rapid firing at monotone, rapid fire pace, stumbling over his own words, gives his opening statement. I wish I had it pulled up here because I might be able to do this next week. But it was just, by the way, while I'm thinking about that, next week, the show, may not happen at all. It's possible. There might be one show one day next week, and I'm not sure what day it's going to be yet. I'm going to be probably traveling or at least gone most of the week. And I know I have to leave for a reunion on Thursday evening, so I'm going to be gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday, possibly back at work again on Monday. It's like, what is that, the 6th or 7th or whatever that is? 8th? No, sorry. No, I take that back. This coming week, that's the following week. I'm thinking, okay, the 4th. I will have a show Friday, the 5th. That's right. I don't do the reunion this week. I do the reunion next week. But I will have a show on the Friday the 5th. There you go. How's that sound? There's another possible day I might have a show during the week, but it's hard to tell what day that will be. And then I have I have Saturday, Sunday off. I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. There we go. Start back Monday, and then I have a reunion on that following Friday, on the 12th, 13th, 14th, I think it is. So we'll see how that goes. All right, now back to the show here. That's as much as you're going to get for an advertisement for any kind of interruptions. We have this melodic tone. Joe wasn't doing it, and now people were saying that he was going to be all juiced up and all jacked up on all kinds of medication. Now, there's two speculations here. One is they did put him on a lot of medication, and it's not working anymore. Or they underdosed him, either on purpose or by choice, hoping that he... See, the thing about doing a speech, getting somebody all jacked up and being able to do a speech, is he's got something there he can read. Now, I remember when he did his State of the Union address, he was angry, mad, bitter, yelling into the air at nobody who was there. It was weird. It was just weird. He was an angry, bitter old man yelling. And the problem that you run into with this is that when you're having to answer questions without any teleprompter, you know, impromptu questions and responses from someone else who's in the room, now we have a problem. You can't be jacked up like that. You can't be on speed. You can't be on this Ritalin, whatever they got him on, Adderall, whatever it is, this cocktail of stuff that he takes to function. Cold or not, you still speak the same way. If I had a cold right now, I would still be speaking the same way. My throat might be raspy. I might have, you know, some congestion, whatever it's going to be. But I'm still able to speak and function and talk, and I can think, you know, normally. It's not. It might be a little loopy from some cold medication, but that's about the extent of it. This guy was out of it. Now, having said that, again, like I was saying, he's not going to be on the ticket. There are people now saying they don't think he should finish his term. There are people on the right saying he shouldn't finish his term. Not, there are probably people on the left saying that, too. Let's just hurry up, get him out of there, put Kamala in as the VP. See, the problem with putting her in is that of moving Joe out, using the 25th Amendment, whatever it is, ejecting Joe from office, unable to function. Now, all of a sudden, this is where the bittersweet part of it is for them. If Kamala steps in as the VP, from VP to the P position, from the VP to the P, to the POTUS, from VOTUS to POTUS, she ends up basically becoming the presumptive nominee. Now, she doesn't, but there will be a huge amount of pressure among the Biden-Harris administration to put her in, even though nobody in the administration likes her. But their jobs are on the line. They're all pushing like crazy for Kamala to be, for Joe and Kamala to be in position, because that's they will stay where they're at. They will keep their jobs. If she becomes the presumptive nominee, then we have a whole other set of problems. Because people don't like her. However, she will become the queen. She'll become the... Now, so if Joe Biden were to resign right now, Kamala becomes... And there actually is a way to keep Kamala from becoming the president. She can step in as acting president for a while, but she has to be confirmed by the Senate, which could potentially not happen. They might put someone else in. They could actually say, or the other thing that they could go to what's called a brokered convention, which is really not really a brokered convention. The DNC is set up, the way the DNC is set up, and this is where Hillary Clinton was able to defeat Bernie Sanders, is they have these things called super delegates. They can do whatever they want. And so those people are in the pockets of the DNC. They're in the pockets of whoever's in power, whoever has the most money. And they're still beholden to the Clintons, basically, the Clinton Foundation. So what happens here is they go to a brokered convention. You can do whatever you want to, but the superdelegates are going to step in and decide who's going to be the next nominee. Of course, all it takes is a couple of those, and you've got... So they have this issue going on right now. Do they make it to the convention before Joe resigns? Do they make him the presumptive nominee now so that if he resigns, a whole different set of people make the decision? It sets a whole different thing in place in terms of who, because then what happens to the presumptive nominee now? What happens? And who will that be? Who gets to decide? If they don't have a virtual convention and put him in place, then it's left up to the delegates at a brokered convention in D.C. Or the DNC, I'm sorry. It is going to be a hairball, a mess. It is going to be a ridiculous set of events, a crazy one like we've never seen before. And of course, in the midst of all this, the deep state is still acting behind the scenes to try to keep Donald Trump out of office. The Democrats are in disarray. They will be in disarray. They're really, in other words, what's happening here is they're really messing up. There's nothing but confusion here on their part. I think one of the things that Donald Trump said at the very end, I think, was kind of telling about, I don't know whether he meant it or not. I don't know how serious he was or whether he was really absolutely, you know, totally genuine about it. I don't know. He said, you know, really, Joe, I really hoped you would be a good president. So I would just go back to my thing and let you go on your way. I could just enjoy my business and my family. Basically, I'm summarizing what he said. But you're not. You've messed up the country, and now I've got to come back and fix it. And that's pretty true, really. I mean, if he would have just left everything in place the way it was, he keeps saying it's the Republicans' fault for the border being the way it is. Excuse me? The border was in decent shape when you took office, Joe. Over the course of the 4 years that Trump was in office, 2 million people came across the border. Were apprehended at the border, I should say. Under your watch in 4 years, 6 million people that we know of have crossed the border. Almost all of whom have been released into the country. 6 million. It's hard to absorb that kind of influx in 4 years without serious economic issues. So, I digress. Let's just call this a show for the day. Tomorrow I have to start work at about 4 in the morning, so it's gonna be a long day. That's all I've got to say about it right now. When it comes down to when they put a real candidate out there, we'll find out. You know, then we can start really getting into this, digging into the weeds of this new person, whatever, whoever it's going to be. And we'll talk more. We could talk about the Democrat Party, their policies, the stuff that's going on the radical left, things that are being said, what they want to really push, what the progressives are really about. Because progressives are progressing towards socialism, and it's no different than Marxism. If you look at Marxism, it's really just cloaked in a socialist,
European, democratic socialism.
It's all bull. So, folks, God bless. Shabbat shalom. Have a great evening, great day. Take care. Keep praying.